All right, to our NHL insider, Elliot Friedman, joining us right now. Sir, Anaheim, this is long overdue, but they finally, whatever that that last two or three bales of hay were, broke the camel's back, I guess.
You know, I think that you just have to take Bob Murray at his word. I think that he really felt it wasn't the solely Randy Carlyle's fault, that the issues were bigger than simply coaching. And if you listen to his conference call yesterday, he reached a point. He was in Russia. I think he was at the World Under-18s. He reached a point last week where he said that he felt that he couldn't change it. He couldn't hold it off anymore, and that was after their loss Tuesday night in Montreal. So I think the most interesting thing about it is Murray going behind the bench. I mean, he's not a coach. He'll tell you he's not a coach. But this, to me, is a general manager saying, I'm going to do this up close, and I'm going to see what we've got, and I'm going to see who's playing and who isn't, and this will formulate my decisions on where we go, not only in the next 2 weeks, but down the road, too.
There seems to be an appetite there to shake things up. That is what I've been told.
Oh, yeah. If you heard his conference call yesterday, and I listened to it, the changes are coming in Anaheim. There's no question about it. And, you know, the thing is, and he said it, and I do agree with it, they have good players, but right now they don't have a good team. And if Bob Murray was to throw open the doors and say, sail, 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 he'd have a lot of people running at him. Mm-hmm. There's good players on that team, on the blue line, up front. And he'd have a lot of interest. And I think the interesting thing about that, Ryan, is that it wouldn't only be teams that are going for it this year. I think there are some teams who maybe are not going for it this year would still look at Anaheim and say, I'm interested because you have guys who can help us for years to come, not just this season.
Boy, Jakob Silfverberg would be quite an ad for a contender. Where do you get a sense the talks are at in terms of an extension with the Ducks?
I think they're really trying. I think there's a possibility it gets done. I think the issue might be term more than money, and Silverberg's looking for a bit more term. So they're wrestling on it right now, and we'll see. I think the guy likes Anaheim a lot. I just think the question is if he can get maybe another year or so out of it, then that might clinch it. That's probably where they are from what I understand.
With NHL insider Elliot Friedman, Elliot was watching you guys on Headlines on Saturday and reading Chris Johnston yesterday on Beyond Headlines. But the really interesting thing now is what happens in Ottawa, because you've got two players that in a lot of ways kind of set the trade market for so many reasons. What is the latest, and what is the latest timeline about Mark Stone and Matt Duchene and their futures with the Senators?
Well, Pat, I mentioned it on Saturday night. The Senators have kind of let people know they're going to know. Everyone's going to know by the middle of a week, or everyone who's interested is going to know by the middle of a week. And, you know, they said they need 10 days. That's Wednesday, Thursday. So they have a game tomorrow night. I'm betting that sometime after that game, we're going to have an idea of who's staying and who's going. And I've really tried to be careful with this one, Pat, because at times I've heard maybe player A is gone. At times I've heard, no, he's okay, but player B's gone. And you know, I just think it's a real roller coaster ride. What I believe is that Ottawa today and tomorrow, they're taking their last stabs at this. They're seeing, okay, is there any way we can get a commitment? And if the answer is no, then we're going to market. And so I think that's kind of where we are. And I think we're going to have a pretty good idea the next 48 hours, who's available and who isn't.
So what are the factors here? What comes into the decisions for the players and whether or not they do stay with the Sens?
You know, I think the key thing is, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, do they believe they can win? You know, it's not like, you know, Duchene and Stone are 23 years old anymore. You know, Eugene Melnyk came out last week and said, you know, they're going to accumulate pieces for two more years, and then he's going to spend close to the cap. I mean, so if you're Duchene and Stone, that's two more years of it's two more years where you know you're barring you have a big run. And, you know, this is a weird league, Pat. Like, how many times do we say this team doesn't have a chance and, you know, they kind of come out of nowhere? Like, Vegas was like that last year. I mean, heck, even the Sanders were like that a couple of years ago. There's always one team every year that survives. And You know, the one thing the Senators do have is they have some pretty talented young players. They have Tkachuk. They have they have Shabbat. You know, I've had a few guys say to me they really like the Josh Norris kid at Michigan who's out for the rest of the year this year. I mean, they have some young players, but, you know, unless you're really believing that in the next 2 years that they're going to allow you to make kind of a surprise run, you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, so I'm going to have to give up 2 more years in my prime, and then we hope we're going to be good enough. And I think the biggest thing, too, is that the owner there has a real, there's a real crisis of consumer confidence in him. And, you know, when he says we're going to be close to the cap, I mean, there's a lot of people immediately say close to, like, what does that mean? And with everything they've kind of been through there already, you know, like, there certainly is, you're taking a leap of faith. And I think for some of the guys who've been there for a long time and they've seen the ups and downs, you know, they're not so sure that they can believe in the leap of faith.
Well, it's funny because I know one of the things that's been brought up is how the Senators will not have a lottery pick this year because they have deferred it and will not have it in the deal with the Colorado Avalanche. And it's pretty unlikely whether you trade Stone or Duchesne. Like, it's going to be tough for them to get back in to those top of the lottery spots because none of the teams that are going after Stone or Duchesne are going to be those types of teams with those types of picks.
Well, it depends on if you're allowed to talk to them, right? Like I do think that there are some teams out there that really like Stone who would love to talk to him. But you're right. I mean, you know, in that particular case, you're right. Unless you believe you're going to extend them, you're not going for it. You're right. I mean, there's it makes no sense for a team to do that, Pat. I mean, look, I'll tell you this. If they trade those two guys, they're going to get first rounders for them. They just won't be lottery picks, you don't think. So you're right. I mean, you know, the one thing is, like, I was a guy who believed last year that they should give up the pick. I really felt strongly that you don't want that hanging over your head all season. You give up the fourth overall pick and you move on. I think history has shown that is not as terrible a decision as I thought it was. Like, you know, Tkachuk, he's going to be a really good player, and he already is a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that particular way, that, you know, that is they're going to be better off for having Tkachuk than they thought. But you're right. Like, I mean, this year, you know, it doesn't look good for them in the first round. They'll have a couple of later picks if they make some trades. The one thing I would say is I was talking about this with someone last week. Like, Ottawa generally drafts not bad. You know, they have found players in the draft. I think it's some of the other things that have really gone sideways for them.
Yeah. Elliot Friedman with us from Hockey Night. I know you've heard this, and I know that you reacted to it on Saturday night, but I'll play it for our listeners who haven't. The Oilers get crushed as part of Hockey Day in Canada by the San Jose Sharks, and here's head coach Ken Hitchcock following the game.
At this time of year, the coaches can't want it more than the players. Okay? That's number one. And at the end of the day, it's going to be decided whether we want to play the right way because it's successful or whether we just want to do our thing. And to me, today was a game we just wanted to do our thing and paid dearly for it.
So it's been about 48 hours now since those comments were made, Elliot. Just your reaction to what you heard from Ken Hitchcock, one of the winningest coaches of all time, and his frustrations with what's happening in Edmonton.
You know, honestly, if you go back to last week, there was that day where he sat in the crowd and Gullison ran practice, and then you saw that. I really wondered if Hitchcock was going to step down or they were going to make another coaching change. Like, you know, and like I'll tell you, like, Hitchcock loves to coach. He really does. It's really hard to see him stepping down, but I really wondered if another coaching change in some way or another was coming, or they were going to say, look, like, this guy's sick of our players and it's just time to go and maybe give Gullison the job, because I think Gullison is getting a bigger role there anyway lately. You know, like, I heard the thing that really drove him crazy was on the 2-0 goal on Saturday night. And you kind of have to watch it from the overhead. And I know the clip is out there on Twitter if you want to find it. It was Draisaitl just doesn't see Evander Kane. And Kane just skates right by him and walks in to get a pass for the 2-0 goal. And I heard that was one that particularly drove Hitchcock crazy. You know, I look, like, I use the line biblical. I mean, just nothing is going right for the Oilers right now. Absolutely nothing is going right for them. You can see the frustration everywhere in the organization. There's just, they're trying to make moves to make their team better, and there's just no market value in anyone they want to trade. Like, I mean, if you take a look at the guys that they want to hold on to, you know, other than that, there's really not a lot of interest in their players. And I mean, it's got to be frustrating too, because, you know, you signed Koskinen to this extension and Talbot plays three times last week. I mean, unless they're showcasing him, it's just really odd. And I just think the whole organization's frustrated. I think they see the season really slipping away from them. And you know, Hitchcock is a guy who loves to coach and came out of retirement to coach too. He badly wanted this opportunity because I think he wants to continue coaching. You know, he can see it slipping away too. I mean, there's just nothing going right in Edmonton right now.
They don't have a general manager right now. That search is ongoing. What does the trade deadline look like in Edmonton knowing that?
Well, I think the biggest question, Pat, is going to be, do they continue going for the playoffs? Like, you know, look, like, all those teams are close, but, you know, I mean, geez, how many of them are you really betting on? And there's not a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot. And you're probably betting on St. Louis because they're getting some saves and their underlying numbers in terms of the way they're playing are pretty good. But, you know, some of those other teams that they're battling, I mean, they're just not trending in the right direction. I mean, you know, I can't believe Arizona's still close with the way their roster has been completely beaten up. You know, Tocchet has them playing, you know, really hard. But you look at some, I mean, like, you know, like, who's betting against Chicago right now? Like if I'm the other teams, I'm looking at the Blackhawks and I'm saying, geez, they're going to find a way.
And what, Crawford skating in the last 24 hours too,
yeah,
right?
But even the other guy they signed today, Delia, he's given them a chance. And you know, I'll tell you this, Patrick Kane, like, we have this debate about McDavid. Can a guy who missed the playoffs be an MVP?
Yeah, Kane's in that conversation for sure.
Patrick Kane, like, he could be the MVP this year. I mean, I don't know. I think the biggest question in Edmonton is, do they still think they can make the playoffs? Do they still treat themselves as a team going for the playoffs? Or do they look at it and say, okay, we're taking a long-term view here? And if I was them, I'd do the latter, but I understand the pressures that are in that organization. I mean, that ownership wants to make the playoffs, and that forces you to make certain decisions.
What is the likelihood that Columbus moves either Panarin or Bobrovsky, if you had to put a percentage on it at this point?
I think it's a high percentage on Panarin. I think Panarin's situation is really interesting because, you know, I think what they could do if they want to is they could trade him and then use those pieces they get to go get something else. I think that's possible. You know, the other thing I heard is that, you know, I think also this week has really changed something. Last week, if you look at it, or 2 weeks ago when Panarin's news came out, you know, they were stumbling. They lost a bunch of games. They lost three times, and they really looked like they were imploding. And then last week, the story I was told is they flew to Colorado on the Sunday. They had a team get together. They kind of aired out their grievances or had a big conversation, and then they won three times on the road. And that's a tough trip. They won in Colorado. They won in Arizona, and they won in Vegas. And Vegas is not an easy place to play. And I'm sure they're probably just saying, okay, now that we can breathe, we might feel a little bit better ourselves and see. But I wouldn't be surprised I know they're considering it internally. You flip Panarin and then use those pieces to go get somebody else. Like, that's possible. But Bobrovsky's just a tougher one. I mean, he has control. He has a no-move clause. And I think there have been some teams that have asked, and he's not going there. And the other thing, too, is it's been reported, and Pierre Lebrun reported, and I don't think Pierre is wrong, that Bobrovsky's willing to move certain places. But the one thing I've heard, and nobody has told me I'm wrong on this, is that Bobrovsky may have just verbally said it and has never put it in writing. because once you put it in writing, you lose control over it. The team says, hey, we've got a document that says you'll go here so we can make this trade. I think Bobrovsky has told them he will consider certain places, but I don't think he's put it in writing. And then there's this whole thing that everyone believes that – not everyone, but a lot of people believe there's a package deal at the end of the season now with the two of them going to Florida. And Panarin kind of threw some cold water on that, but there's a lot of people who think it could very well happen.
It's interesting. The situation is that Panarin, Bobrovsky, Stone, and Duchesne are in getting a lot of talk, and why not? They're expiring contracts on really good players. And the teams, there's some good questions about what direction they're heading in. Yet, what's the word on Jeff Skinner? Because I feel like it's been a good fit, but would they risk going past the deadline without an extension for Skinner in Buffalo?
I think Buffalo would. I think they would. You know, I think there's always the possibility that they will consider doing that, yes. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. You know, I saw there was an exec I know was at their game last week against Carolina, and Skinner scored twice, and they got into overtime to get a point. And he's like, how can they let this guy go? And I think it's a big number. It's probably similar to Duchesne, the rumors that were out there. But, you know, I could see the Sabres saying, okay, we're going to take our chances with this because they do have the one advantage. They can always give him the extra year. And, you know, sometimes I think you take a chance with it and you say, all right, and they're still in the race. It's not like they're giving
true
up.
Yep.
At the end of the year, they have that ability to say, all right, we control the extra year and we can do that.
Okay, final one. Anything on the Calgary Flames popping up in the phone these days?
You know, I think that the Flames are continuing to look at the depth options. I mean, the one thing I really wonder about, and so far True Living has been able to keep it pretty quiet, is what they're doing about the goalie position. And, you know, I think he's trying to be really careful because, you know, Riddick is still young and, well, not too young, but he's still learning and he's still battling. And I like the way he battled on Saturday night. That game could have gone sideways really quickly. And I think after that early yank he got against San Jose, the way, you know, we all see that first shot go in, and then it's a while before he gets the next one. And I'm sure every Flame fan was thinking the same thing. Oh, God, is this going to go sideways? And I thought he really battled. And so I think that the Flames are trying to keep him as about the most positive frame of mind that they can and understand that they believe in him and they believe in him long term. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're looking. But I think your GM is really trying to keep that out of the public so that it isn't something that, you know, it isn't something that can affect his goaltender. So I find it hard to believe they wouldn't be looking, but it's the organization isn't going to come right out and say, yes, we're doing that. Because I think whatever happens, I still think they see Riddick as the long-term guy in goal.
So would a move be a platoon mate? Would it be a clear one? Or would it be an upgrade on the backup position where Smith has now gone a calendar year with some really miserable 5-on-5 save percentage numbers?
Well, you know what I thought it was? Like, you watched the game last Thursday, and one of the reasons I was so surprised at Paul Ryan was not only that he pulled Riddick, who's been really good, but I didn't think it was a great position to put Smith in. Like, as you said, he's a guy who's been really battling, and you're throwing him in there, and, you know, like, it just was a tough spot for him now. And he gives up a goal on the first play, on the first shot. And so I don't think it's a one necessarily they're going after. First of all, how many of them were even available? But I can't even prove that they are doing it because, you know, your GM would never say it. I just think if they're looking, they're looking for a guy that to have there as insurance. Like, I believe that David Riddick is Calgary's plan is to make David Riddick their long-term guy. And I think everything they're doing this year is trying to show David Riddick that they believe in him and that he's their long-term guy. So I would be surprised if they went out there and got, like, a number one guy. I think they're going out there, can give them some help, and if they need it down the stretch. I think long-term, he's your number one goalie. I think that's Calgary's plan because they know him, and I think that's what they want to do.
Great stuff as always. We will check in again next week, and keep up the great work, sir. 2 weeks to go here. This is busy phone bill time.
Almost over, thank God.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye.